the Beef Watch Podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension educator. For today's Beef Watch Podcast, we're going to discuss the topic of planning for and planting spring annual forages. And to have a conversation about this, I'm joined today by Dr. Jerry Valesky, who's a range and forage specialist based at the West Central Research and Extension Center. Thanks for joining me today.
It's my pleasure, Aaron.
Well, Dr. Valesky, as we record this podcast, we're sitting here at the 1st of March, and actually now's the time to be thinking about these spring annual forages, getting your seed lined up if you haven't already. What are some things to think through now as we get ready to start planting here the end of March and into April to give us the best chance of success with these this spring?
Well, that's right. You know, it isn't very far off till we do want to get these planted. And like you said, it's an ideal planting time is late March to early April. And, you know, even in some places in southern or southwest Nebraska, I've seen some people put them in as early as mid-March. And, you know, it kind of depends on how these spring temperatures, you know, follow up over the next month. But so keeping that planting date or time in mind, that's not too far off. And with these spring annual forages, we generally like to see those soil temperatures about 42 to 45 degrees. So that's another, I guess, barometer or gauge you can look at by listening to some of these different soil temperature reports that do come out.
As we think about varieties of different spring annuals, we have a number of options available to us. Of course, most folks probably think about oats, but that's not the only thing we can use.
That's right. As you mentioned, oats is probably one of the more common ones planted, but we've done trials here over the past number of years with things like spring triticale or spring barley, and found that those two other small grains usually perform just as well or yield just as well as the oats does. And, you know, quality wise and the pattern of growth is also very similar. There's some other things that could be considered too. Sometimes people will include field peas as part of the mixture with some of these cereal grains. Italian ryegrass is another one that it's an annual grass, basically, where if the intention for that forage is to be grazed, having some Italian ryegrass in there does seem to work pretty well too, because the ryegrass regrows so much better after being grazed, you know, as long as you do have the needed moisture, of course.
So you mentioned these different spring annuals. Is there any advantage to planting a mix instead of going with just a monoculture as we think about a crop for, I'm thinking here primarily hay or for silage?
You know, in terms of doing that, particularly, yeah, if we were cutting for hay or for silage, I don't know if that's any advantage to the mixture. You know, you might look at what seed prices are for the different species. I do know and have seen where sometimes for a grazing situation, some of the spring barley that I mentioned is mixed in with oats, either oats or the spring triticale. And one of the things about the spring barley, it does seem to stool out really well and has a bit finer stems. And so quality-wise, it might have a little bit of advantage over the other two.
I know a question I get asked frequently out here in the panhandle is, should I include peas? And you already mentioned there's the option of that. Help us think through as we think about, should I include peas or not? What are some of the advantages, disadvantages?
Sure. With the field peas, you know, it does definitely, it is a legume, you will see an increase in the quality of the overall hay or silage or whatever you might be making. It does take, you know, a fairly good proportion of peas in that mix. And I'm trying to think, but I believe it's right offhand, you know, where you have to have at least 25% of the available forage as peas before you see a noticeable bump, and particularly in crude protein. And a drawback, however, with peas is that the seed can be fairly expensive. That seed cost may outweigh, you know, some of the quality advantages that you see from just a straight cereal grain or, you know, a mix of some of those cereal grains. And, you know, a key thing with that quality, and particularly if you're shooting for, you know, higher crude protein, is that harvest date. Typically, if we're talking about haying here in central Nebraska, it's roughly about the third week of June. We're seeing that oats, I'll use that as an example, it would be heading out. grain just barely starting to fill. You would have some liquid in there, that kernel, I call it a milk stage where it's starting to turn white. And from what I've seen, if it's cut at that stage, you're going to be looking at some pretty high quality forage. And in terms of protein, anywhere from that 9 to even 11 or 12% good protein.
Talk to a little bit about seeding rates, because there's been some recent research done looking at different levels of seeding, and I think a little bit surprising in terms of what we've seen in terms of results.
Oh, that's right. We did do a seeding rate trial with oats, and we used anywhere from our different levels of seeding rates. We had 25, 50, 75, or 100 pounds seeding rate per acre. And we're thinking oats, it's roughly about 40 pounds per bushel. And so in the case of a 100 pound per acre seeding rate, you're talking about 2.5 bushels per acre. But what we saw in that was that even at half that 100 pound rate or 50 pounds per acre, we saw just as much yield as we did with that 100 pound per acre seeding rate. So I think, again, depending on your seed cost and, there may be a little bit of risk sometime if you go too low on your seeding rate, but at those lighter seeding rates, you're still going to be doing quite well in terms of your overall forage yield. Have to keep in mind that there's almost only so much space out there in terms of whatever plants per square foot that you do have.
Dr. Bolesky, is there any difference in maturity dates that we need to be paying attention to on these spring annuals? And is there any advantage to maybe planting different types, maybe planting an oat and then a triticale, or do they basically mature all at the same time?
Well, on average, they do, but there are some differences, of course. Say within varieties of oats, say just strictly talking oats, you can see some pretty significant differences in maturity date. Everlast oats, for example, is a particular variety that's selected for being quite late maturing. And so if you're growing that particular variety, it may be not and might not be till the 1st of July to where it's at the same maturity stage as another type or another variety of oats. And so I guess it depends on our purpose. If we are thinking, hey, we may want one that just has the similar or the same maturity date rather than having a mix. And related to varieties too, particularly when it comes to the oats, there are several varieties that have been specifically selected for forage. And by that I mean they were selected for having like wide leaves, pretty good leafy growth, and greater yield compared to a variety that might be strictly for grain production. So that's a good point to keep in mind. And there can be some advantage to specifically choosing a forage variety.
Let's talk a little bit about soil fertility and what we should do there in terms of soil testing, and what should we expect to have available for the crop to optimize production.
Sure. So in most cases, nitrogen is going to be the primary nutrient of need for any forage crop or any of these forage crops. And in most cases, we do recommend about 60 to 70 pounds of nitrogen, applied either, at planting or, shortly after that particular crop has emerged. On dry land situations, you'd probably definitely be on the lower end of that. I said maybe 70 might be a good target for an irrigated situation, but if you're dry land, that 40 to 50 pounds may be a better choice.
Where can folks go to find some of the research data that you've talked about today and look at these varieties in terms of expected yields?
Well, we do have, I believe, a lot of this at BEEF website. That's beef.unl.edu. And there's a forages section under there, which does contain some of these articles or reports related to this.
Dr. Bolesky, anything else you'd like to highlight on this topic today?
No, I think that does about cover it. It's again, it's spring is getting close, and so it would encourage people that if they have some plans for these annual forages to make sure they get out there and get their seed secured and their necessary field work or field preparations done pretty soon, if that's going to be their goal.
Well, thanks again for joining me today.
You're welcome.
Well, for more information on the topic that was discussed in today's Beef Watch podcast, as Dr. Valesky mentioned, there are a number of resources at the beef.unl.edu website. There's some NEB guides there, as well as research data, and also some videos that Dr. Valesky's put together in the past. Also, if you'd like to visit with Dr. Valesky directly, you can find his contact information. He's based at the West Central Research and Extension Center.